We want to talk about temptation. So I invite you to grab your outlines that are in your bulletins. Let's take a look at this together. We're working through the book of James. This is the second in a series that will take us all the way up until Advent. Now we're dealing with temptation. James is a faith that works. I love the book of James because it's very practical, very helpful. And I want to look at the oldest problem that all of us have. The oldest problem, that's temptation. It goes back to the fall. That was the verses that we had. If you look for a moment, I know you have your outlines, but look at on the back of your bulletin. And you can see this section from Genesis. Now let's just take a peek at that first. You'll notice something in this. I'd like to highlight this for you. That Adam and Eve had free will to choose to love God. God had given them this garden, this beautiful garden that they were living in. And He had given them just very few rules, but, you know, really wasn't the rules that He was after. What He was really looking for, He was looking for this relationship of love. He was looking for this. They actually took walks together, it said. God would come down in the garden and would walk together. He just loved them. He cared for them. They were so special. And they were special to Him. And it was just a mutual relationship of love. And if you think about it, if you've ever been in love with somebody, isn't that true when you really love someone, or you think about when you fell in love with somebody? I mean, it is just such a wonderful, gorgeous thing. You don't need rules. You don't need regulations. You don't need anything like that. It's just wonderful. And then sin, you look at this. Look what Satan's trying to do. What he's doing is he's coming in and he's trying to destroy that beautiful relationship that they have with God. That's what he's trying to do. He's coming into that situation and he's trying to take away that wonderful, beautiful fellowship that they have with God. And this is what sin does to us. It causes us to look at God differently. It causes us to see Him as a judge. It doesn't cause us to see, it doesn't help us to see who He really is, how much He cares for us. But it actually colors our perspective so that we blame, we curse, we don't feel the comfort that we would really feel from Him if we really genuinely knew Him. And we have trials and we have temptations. That's what comes into this world. If you look at your outline now, you'll see in that, there's that word that Hillary was talking about. There's the word trials and there's the word temptations. Now in the Greek, they're actually the same word. They use them interchangeably. They use this idea to kind of, it describes the temptations that we go through and the trials that we go through. The challenges that we have. For example, somebody does something wrong to you and you're upset at that person. There's a temptation to gossip about it. There's a temptation to talk about it. There's all sorts of things that come into our hearts and minds. And James wants us to know something that's very helpful. And as we begin, I would like to share something with you, because James wants to share with us how that temptation works and how it works in our hearts and minds, and the process that's involved in that, and how that works to separate us from the love that God has for us in Christ. He wants us to know ourselves. He wants us to know the process that actually happens when temptation comes up, because all of us are tempted. All of us run into difficulties. We all run into trials in our lives. We're not exempt from it. And if you'll look at the verses 14 through 15, it says, "But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. And then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And then sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." Now James is saying where it starts is with a thought. It starts with a thought in our mind about, for example, how somebody has done us wrong or how things didn't go right for us. We have a thought in our minds. There's a thought that happens that we hold on to, that we think about. And the thoughts themselves are really not bad. I mean, you have good thoughts and you have bad thoughts. We all have thoughts that happen in our minds. We have things that you know, are good. But what James is talking about is he said there's a response that happens. And you'll notice in that verse he says, dragged away and enticed. And what James uses in that verse is he uses terms that were very common to them in their day. They were hunting terms. And they were terms that you would use in the sports world. The dragged away is what a hunter would use when you're caught in the snare of a trap. And I think about how much this is true. Like if you get caught into a snap, you get drawn away by something that hurt you or something that's painful to you. And your mind begins to think it over. And it begins to affect you. And what happens is the next word we're used, enticed, that's actually a fisherman's word, and it's a bait. It actually is the word for bait. And you know, when a fisherman goes out to fish, you always put bait on the hook. And my brother liked to fish. Dan Roney was here at our first service, and he said this is true, that a fisherman always has the right bait. And that's how you catch the fish. It's by putting that bait on it, and Satan knows how to bait the hook. To bait us to get us upset, to get us angry, to get us frustrated, to get us fearful. And these are things that come in and they cause us to think about it. And see, so this is the process that happens. We start thinking about it. And these things ruminate in our mind. We cogitate on them. And as they do, they begin to cause us to have a response to it. And the thing is God wants to come in the midst of that. He wants to pop in the midst of that. He doesn't want us to respond as normally we would want to respond. Or if you're hanging out with people in your work, let's say somebody does you wrong, right? Or there's somebody that's doing something naughty or something. A lot of times people will just talk about it, right? And they'll just talk about the situation. They'll talk and they'll gossip and they'll chatter and they'll, you know. And it'll kind of ferment and it'll grow. And pretty soon you realize that I'm just getting more upset about this thing. I'm not dealing with the problem. I'm just talking about so-and-so. And it's beginning to kind of flow in our minds. And that's the response that's leading us down. That's the bait. You see, and again, let me return to that. What's Satan after? What's the flesh after? Trying to keep us separated like we were in the garden. Trying to keep us away from the God that loves us, away from the God that cares for us, away from the God that can actually deliver us and help us with the problem. And so James goes on to say, he said there's an action that comes from it. And that action is where we kind of, you know, sometimes people will say, it's just I didn't mean it. I was just joking. I didn't, you know, yeah, you know, but I would never, you know, do that to the person. I would never, no, I was just joking. That little sexual fantasy, you know, I got that under control. No, you don't. You don't have it under control. And that's the problem. And we think we do. And James is actually just coming to us straight up. He's coming to us in love. And he's saying, brothers and sisters, let's just stop and think about this. Because the final one where he says there's a product, this is where as a pastor it just breaks my heart. Because there is a product. And this is the world that we live in. We see the brokenness. We see the pain. We see the hurt. We see the suffering. I know with my wife, Jill, you know where she works and what she deals with, and I see it in my work and my ministry. It just grieves our hearts. Because we look at this and we see the stair step, the progression. And we see the pain that it causes. But you know, praise God, I'm really happy about this, that whereas the world tries to put band-aids on it and tries to fix it up and tries to do the best thing we can, we have the best solution in the world, and it's to know the Savior. And you'll notice in the text, James immediately changes focus, doesn't he? He immediately moves. You may wonder why he does that. Look at that in verse 17. First he says in verse 16, he says, dear brothers and sisters, don't be tricked. Don't go down that path of condemnation, of hurt, of pain, of suffering. Don't go down that path, please. I don't want you to. I want you to stop it even when it gives birth in your thoughts. Back up. Back up to what? To a Savior that loves you. God is good. He's good all the time. And He goes to that right away. He says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change. Here's the point. The point that's huge for us when we deal with temptations. And I want to put the temptation in the broadest concept, because it's not just what we think about. I know we like to just categorize it, and we like to say temptation, that's some sexual thing, that's some this, that's some envy. No, it's the trials, it's the difficulties. Because when you are faced with trials that are going to test your patience and test your ability to endure this week, it's going to cause all sorts of defects and all sorts of things to come out that we are going to express to the people we love. And this is kind of what he's getting to. And so here's it. To handle temptations or trials, to get a handle on them in your life, you got to get a handle on God. That's the way you're going to deal with it. Is to know that you have a loving Savior that watches over you, that cares for you. There's a verse in here I invite you to look at with me. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. You probably heard this verse before. No temptation has seized you except what is common to people. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you are tempted, He will also provide a way out in which you can stand. Do you hear the grace in that verse? Do you hear the grace in that verse where you are in the garden and God is calling out to you and He's saying, come to me. He's saying, come to me. And you say, Lord, I have guilt. I have shame. I don't feel like I can come to you. I don't feel worthy of this. He says, look at the cross. He says, know the Savior. He says, just come to me, because you don't have the strength, but I can supply this strength for you. I can supply it for you. And He tries to encourage us in this verse. He says, there is no sin that has overcome you, which from God's point of view is not common. It's like nothing. I mean, He made the world out of nothing. He didn't need anything to work with that. He just spoke it into existence. And He can do the same thing in our lives. And really the key is for us just to get a handle and run to God and trust in Him when that temptation hits. Because God's will is always good. And He is stable. He is rock solid stable. It says in verse 17, it says, He never changes. There's never any shadow of shifting. And isn't that true in this world? Don't people change? And they'll tell you one thing, and they'll have that smile on their face, and they'll talk to you like that. And we actually, as adults, we start getting a little bit. Isn't it wonder with little kids? They're just so odd. They just talk to you. But as adults, we don't do that. Why? Because sin has gotten to us. And we kind of know how the world is. And God wants to come in the midst of that, and He wants to know that He is not like that. That He is good, He is gracious, He is kind, and He is just solid. And that His Word is something that we can forever build our lives on. I mean, this world is just going to change. It's going to up and down and all sorts of things. But He wants us to have that rock solid stability in our lives. He wants us to have that stability when we're stressed. He wants us to know the Savior that calls out to us when we feel like we need to run and hide. Let me share with you. I invite you to write these things down. All right? These are three things that will help you when you're dealing with temptation in your life. The first thing that I want to share with you, because these are absolute facts that are going to give you a foundation when you're dealing with temptations and stresses and trials. Number one, God will never stop loving me. He will never stop loving you. Never. How do I know that? I know that because of the cross of Christ. That's how I know that. Because of the cross of Christ, because Christ was on that cross and God accepted that sacrifice, what sins didn't He pay for? What trials, what burdens can He handle? He will never, ever stop loving you. And He won't love you any less. And that's important for us to know. When we fail and when we feel guilty, And we all do at times. I do. I feel commonly. I feel miserably. And it's sad. And a lot of times, you know, you feel guilty. You feel bad. But you know, we need to hear that encouragement. We need to be encouraged to know that He will never love me any less. Isn't that an amazing thought? Never love you any less. Because He just has this desire to have a relationship with you. And the second thing I want to share with you is that God's Word. God's Word is always right. If you're ever confused for how to go or the direction you need to go in, God's Word is always right. It will never lie to you. It will always speak the truth to you. And when you build your heart and your life and your relationships on the Word of God, you will find that you have a stability and a rock solidness to your life that you can't have any other way. And don't we want that? Don't we put up the facade like we got it together and we're all cool? But it's not true. God's Word gives you that assurance. If you want assurance in your life, build your life on the rock solid truth of God's Word. And it will give you that assurance because Jesus Christ and God Almighty is behind that. It will give you the encouragement you need. And we need that. Our world needs to see that. We need to have that in our lives. So, you know, be assured. When you deal with temptation, one, God will never stop loving you. God will never stop loving me. Oh, I need to know that. Because I think I need to earn that. But thank God that Christ did. And God's Word is always right. It is rock solid. It is true. James talks about that in the text. You'll see in verse 18, he says, through the Word of truth, He gives us birth. And we need that new birth and new life every single day, every time we fail. And then the last thing I want to share with you as you deal with temptation in your life, God's purpose for you. And Hillary, you talked about this in their children's message, so I thank you for it. About a diamond and how it comes out of coal. That we're a little rough around the edges. We don't see ourselves like that. But God sees you as a work in progress. And He's not shocked. God sees you as a work of progress with all your failures, with all your difficulties, and He wants you to hold on to Him. He wants you to believe this, that God's purpose for your life, for my life, is bigger than your problems. God's purpose for your life is bigger than your problems and your temptations. And to believe that, trust in that. That's a powerful thing. It's not based on who we are or what we do or what we're able to do. God is doing a wonderful and beautiful work. I saw this story. I want to share it with you. I just love this story. There's a guy named Rob Cutshaw. He's in North Carolina. This was many years ago. And he liked to go out and hunt for rocks. And he found this big old huge rock, and Rob Cutshaw, in his talk, he said it was purty and it was big. And, so he didn't know really what to do with it, so he hid it under his bed, and sometimes he put it in the closet, and, he just kind of abandoned it and really didn't know what to do with the thing. And finally, you know, he took it out and found out what the thing was. And this big old rock that was rough and didn't look like much at all actually was the largest sapphire that has ever been found. And in that time, it was worth about $2.75 million. And he didn't even know that he had it. You can't see now how God is going to shape you and move you through the trials and temptations. You can't see how God is going to develop character in you as we endure them. But God wants us to draw near to Him and trust Him and not lose sight of the work that He's begun in you. He loves you. He's committed to you. through Jesus Christ. And He wants us to really have that free work in us. And you think about it, if for me and for you and for all of us together, church, if we did that and we said, God, work in us, move in us, bless us, help us, we would be a powerful force. We would be amazing. And this is what God wants us to do, and not lose sight. Your problems, your trials, they cannot get in the way of God. Let us hold on to God and trust Him and give Him that free reign and just thank Him and praise Him for His great and wonderful grace to us. May God bless you. May God give you strength as you deal with your temptations this week. I don't know what you have coming in store. I don't know what this week is going to bring. But let's have a word of prayer that God would strengthen us in it. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we ask that You would direct our hearts and minds back to You, to trust in You, to not as in the garden run away or be fearful, but to know, Lord, that by drawing near to You, we will find strength that we wouldn't have otherwise. Give us peace in that. Give us encouragement in that, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.